Point of View with Phimelo Modine on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
Nixon Katembu is Channel Africa's producer on the line with us, looking at stories making headlines around the continent. Nixon, thank you so much for your time. Good evening. Listen, let's talk about what is happening, a coup in Guinea, and almost the entire world condemning this coup.
Yes, the coup is happening at the time when the country has just gone through an election with a president who, in March last year, had to change the constitution in order to seek for a third term. And in December last year, the country went to the poll. And then he became a president for a third term against the constitutional mandates, which he actually outlined two terms in that country, so having changed that constitution. However, what is happening in Guinea is quite interesting because this is not just about the coup or the people of Guinea demanding for democracy, but rather what happened behind the scene in terms of major powers that have a hand in what is happening in the politics of the country, especially given the fact that Guinea, for the sake of your listeners, perhaps, is the first world producer of iron ore in the world. And you know, iron ore is critical for the production of aluminium materials. You see your different, metal, which were produced by aluminium that we need for everyday consumption and so on. Mm-hmm. And the second world producer, which is Australia. In the broader scheme of things, you have all those issues. Then you have the training of the coup leader in France, having been a French legionnaire there, which is a French special forces that admit foreigners into the group, and then returning back to Guinea in 2018, actually to be asked by the president to establish a special forces in responsible for the protection of the president, but also working in collaboration with the French Ministry of Defense. So it's quite a complex situation of vested interests, both from the outside and the political dynamics within the country, vis-a-vis the aspiration of the Guinean people yearning for democracy and the rule of governance that serve the everyday common people of the country. But what is of particular interest to me is how the coup happened, mm-hmm. and having described the coup leader, mm-hmm. Having been supported by France, but not only by France, he also trained under the Africa U.S. Command, AFRICOM, which is the United States military in Africa. And this is a look at the protection of U.S. interests on the continent in terms of making sure that our natural resources are hoarded by this country. Mm-hmm. But given that as well, you see China having a diplomatic tension between with Australia, and Australia being the second largest producer of iron ore, so China kind of boycotted a slow boycott of Australian products, including iron ore and the bauxite. So it came to Guinea and signed a $9 billion deal with the Guinean government for infrastructure development. And I guess for me, that is the bone of contention on why this president, Alpha Conde, was overthrown to make sure that they frustrate Chinese investments in the country, but also making sure that understanding that Australia and the U.S. are in close friendship or diplomatic relations, and therefore having China leaving Australia to come to Guinea to extract its iron ore there for the domestic consumption back in China, it was going to be quite problematic for the Australian and the American having a Chinese influence within that particular country. And this is the reason for the coup, not about what we read in the media that the president was, you know, running for a third term. Of course, the soldier took that opportunity to ride on the inspiration of the Guinean people in order to get the coup through and making sure that they frustrated this process that had been started by China. So in a way, in my own reading of the situations, that now Africa seems to be facing a new challenge, and the challenge that turns the continent into a new battle front line for contestation of resources by Western powers.
Are we likely to see, as everybody has called for the president to be released, are we likely to see that? And also another thing I want to ask Nixon is that as we see, for instance, the Secretary General of the United Nations, we see the president of the AU, we see the president of the Commission of AU, all calling for his release. Did they say anything prior to this when the Constitution, for instance, was being amended? Was there any word from them?
No. Okay, the United Nations actually hasn't made a significant, call to return to civilian rule in that country. In fact, if you speak of the AU, the AU, which is funded over 50% by the European Union, and you know for the fact that you cannot bite the hand that feeds you. And looking at the European Union, you look at the dominance of France and Germany. And, you know, the AU is likely to have a less impact on what is happening in Guinea. Previously, you would have seen a regional bloc such as ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African State, ECOWAS, intervening in such a similar case in a way that it looked to impose sanctions against Guinea, as well as suspending its membership to ECOWAS, of course. But that will have a little impact on a country like Guinea. It has a coastline. It has its own ports, which means even if it produces whatever mineral resources such as bauxite that it has, it can easily just ship it out without being bothered by sanction. Of course, the impact can come on a diplomatic relation between the two or the neighboring state of West African members of ECOWAS, or on some of the lesser hard hitting to the economy of the country, and that is going to be a challenge unless there is a reconfiguration on how the situation is going to be dealt with. Already you asked me about whether the president has been released.
Yes.
And Colonel Mamadou Doumbouya, who led the coup, they have stated categorically that they are not going to release him, and they are not going to allow anyone to dictate to them on what to do with their own affairs.
All right, let's move on to Mali, where you are seeing France getting quite worried about Mali and Russian relations, where we now have a Russian company who's going to be offering mercenaries, about 1,000 of them, to Mali.
Well, I think this is a given. One, you have to look at the historical perspective of France's involvement in West Africa as being the former colonial power there. And then you have to look at what is it in Mali that the French are scared of for the Russians to actually get so frustrated or even threatened by the Russian mercenaries, we have to look at one from the historical perspective. France colonized those countries. France still colonized them in terms of during colonialism, in terms of economy. It still have a strong hold in terms of cultural behavior, because it carried out what they call assimilation rule, you know, a type of turning these little countries in West Africa or Africans into a little Frenchmen, being, you know, speaking French well, you were seen as someone of a prestigious or regarded with high esteem. And that's kind of permeated in the psyche and the political process, and it galvanized the political culture within those French former colonies in West Africa. And in that, France create a way in which it determined the economies of those countries, the politics around those countries. In fact, they are still 14 countries who still have their national reserve determined by the Bank of France and the Finance Ministry in France. In other words, they don't have the free standing reserve bank to determine their currency in terms of to determine how the economy are run. On the other hand, you have France being a member of the European Union, but also a member of the a UN Security Council. Now, and you know the five club members of the UN Security Council, they know how to determine state affairs, how they run in the world. On the other hand, you have Russia, which has been somehow in contestation with France, Germany, during the Cold War. But we must remember that current status quo, we are no longer in the World War. We are in an era post-Cold World War. Then you have an era of neocolonialism. Then we are getting to this era of globalization. And again, there is a new contestation for resources. Who get access to what for critical development and the modern technologies, and therefore running modern economy in the way that they are. And one of those is to making sure that you have influence over where there is resources. And Mali, for your sake of your listeners, is one country that you know produces bauxite. They have gold. They have manganese. They have a phosphate, and above all, they have also uranium. And you know, France is one of the major uranium developers and the major uranium technology who runs the world. So that tells you how much why. France is jittery. But on the same time, you look at countries like Russia, which has been at a loggerhead with Western Europe, of which France is a member of, and being a member of the European Union, being at a loggerhead with countries such as the former Soviet Union. Of course, if you look at from the historical perspective, the past 30 years after the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia concentrated in the building itself within. But now, the current leadership in the Kremlin, in the name of President Vladimir Putin and his crew, Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister, they are trying to kind of forge a new relationship across the world, and one of which is to go to these where they can get resources as well. So Africa again become a center of attraction for these Western powers, but also a center of contestation. But coming to the issues of Mali and the Wagner Group, you would see that these are private, let's not even call them mercenaries, they are private companies owned by a tycoon, a Russian tycoon who so happened to be connected to the elite in the Kremlin. So sending those private armies just to help the Malian government, so they say, to weed out armed group which have been, you know, terrorizing the country. You recall the destruction of Timbuktu manuscripts and all of that. But in that region as well is where you find these mineral resources that I found earlier. So France trying to, you know, go against this and feeling jittery on what is happening in Mali. So one, making sure that it guide its influence in the region and still hold on its colonial kind of paternalistic approach to diplomatic relations between former French colonies and France itself, but also making sure that its economic interests are not threatened. Unlike where Russia goes and try to help, I mean, Russia, if you look at its history, it has been part of offering assistance to Southern African countries during the liberation movement from the colonial era. And, you know, colonialism was actually led by Western European countries. So you have these contestations. I'm afraid we cannot talk about them in one program.
Yeah. I was actually about to say, you know, we would really have to honor this Nixon with a proper conversation that gives us enough time to do this and really lay it all out. Nixon Katembo is Africa Channel reporter there, just giving us a sense of what is happening in some parts of the continent. We'll have to pick this up at another time.
Point of View with Phimelo Mudine on Kaya 959, on the street, on the air.